Let's go back in time a bit. Tell us a little about the path that you took to becoming the top prosecutor for the state's Eastern District.
It was kind of a surprising path. I joined state government in 2008 as general counsel for the Health Services Cabinet. Never dreamed that I would have this job or would even be considered for this job, but President Obama was elected. Ben Chandler was the congressman at that point in time and was an old friend of mine, and just through that confluence of events, I was asked if I was interested, and I was, and the rest is history.
Well, you were nominated in 2010, as you said, by President Obama. The custom is for U.S. attorneys to step down when a new party moves into the White House, so what are your feelings on saying goodbye to the post?
I love the job. I think it's certainly the pinnacle of my professional career, and I've made so many good friends in this office and in the law enforcement community that it's sad to leave. But on the other hand, I have a great joy in my heart at having had the opportunity to serve the public in this post, and also at all we've accomplished. The last 7 years have been very consequential for our office, and I think in a positive way, and I'm very proud of that.
You're leaving the position amid an epidemic in heroin and now fentanyl use that's taken up a lot of your attention in recent years. Take us through the changes you've seen in drug use, drug trends from 2010 to today.
It's a long story, probably would take longer than you have, and it really the opioid epidemic, I think, is the single biggest problem facing the Commonwealth of Kentucky. And we should not forget that all of this is tethered to the misuse and overuse of prescription opioid pain pills. And what we've done is through the overuse of prescription pain pills, we just manufacture people who are addicted to opioids, and then they turn to heroin. In 2010, heroin and fentanyl and carfentanil was really not on the radar screen. I'd never heard of carfentanil. But what we've seen has the pill epidemic, the pill problem has worsened. People turn to heroin as a cheaper, stronger source to feed the heroin addiction, and that has brought us to this terrible place we are in terms of the opioid crisis, but it is still being fueled by the overuse of prescription pain medication and the misuse of that medication.
Well, what is the most encouraging sign you see on that front?
The most encouraging sign I see is that there is an increasing public awareness in all walks of life that this is a tremendous problem that we face in our community and our state. I think there is less denial than we saw just a few years ago, and there's increasing awareness that this is not just a problem in certain segments of society. This is an issue that attacks every socioeconomic group and every region of our Commonwealth. So public awareness is the first step in mobilizing the resources that are necessary to solve this problem.
Well, you mentioned it already. Obviously, probably the biggest challenge you see for your successor is that problem. What still keeps you up at night here as you leave this office?
Certainly the opioid problem would be at the top of that list. We've also focused very intensely on prosecuting public corruption and election fraud cases. I think that that will always be important. And I think the biggest threat that is on the horizon that we're going to have to gear up to deal with would be in the area of cybercrime. We're seeing more and more cybercrime in our district, and I think that's a trend that's going to continue.
What's been most frustrating for you, something that you would like to see change about this office or the way that it works?
I'll have to say that this is the best job that I've ever had. But since I've been in this office, I have dealt, I think, with three or four hiring freezes. I've dealt with a year of budget sequestration. I've dealt with government shutdowns. The uneven nature of public funding is probably something that's not going to be changed, but it does make it difficult.
Have you been satisfied with how well, you know, jurisdictions have worked together? And if not, how would you like to see that improved?
No, I think actually that's been very positive. One of the aspects of this job that I did not anticipate is just what a close relationship you form with your colleagues across the country. The men and women serving as United States Attorney across the country are some of the best friends that I've ever had. And those sort of personal relationships, I think, help. And I think there's also, throughout the nation, a great deal of dedication to the mission. So the cooperation is good. We do need increased collaboration, and that's something that we've initiated in this office in terms of the opioid problem. We are trying to build multi-generational mechanisms to disrupt the flow of heroin and pills and fentanyl from communities like Detroit and Columbus, and I think we're having some success with that. I mean, in terms of the opioid problem in general, there's a lot of good work going on out there, but it does need to be better integrated here locally and in Kentucky. We are dreadfully short of treatment facilities, so we need more and better treatment. We need just an editorial comment. A few years ago, I think we made some great strides in public policy in Kentucky in terms of how we deal with prescription pain pills. I think the legislation there was very positive. But we still have a long way to go with heroin trafficking. In terms of how we deal with that in Kentucky, we prosecute a lot of people through our overdose initiative that have been in the state system for some sort of heroin-related crime, maybe 3, 4, 5 times, and have never received any meaningful punishment. And while we don't want to incarcerate addicts and people for possession and that sort of thing, we want to help those people. On the other hand, the people who are engaged in this commercial drug trafficking, truly predatory behavior, we've got to get them out of the revolving door that sometimes occurs in the criminal justice system. And we have to, you know, some people have to be removed from society if we're going to protect the rest of society. So there needs to be some work done in that area.
If you had to outline the successes of your tenure, what cases would top that list?
I think we've, in terms of categories, we have built a white-collar fraud prosecution unit here that is second to none across the country, and we didn't have a unit to do that sort of work before. We are doing now drug cases that are much more sophisticated, I think, than we had done in the past. We focused a few years ago very intensely on prosecuting pill mill operators, on physicians who were really just drug dealers and pharmacists, and we focused on disrupting the out-of-state pipelines, and I think we've done that with some success. So I think probably more in terms of categories than specific cases, and I would also say that we have built a team of incredibly talented, dedicated attorneys and staff members that will stand this office in good stead for years to come. Of the 93 new U.S. attorneys that we will see over the next year or two, the luckiest one will be the one who inherits this office because of the people that he or she will find in this office.
What are your plans going forward?
I haven't made any firm plans yet. I haven't taken off a lot of time in this job, so I'm going to take off a few weeks and relax and then figure out the next chapter.
Lastly, what advice do you have for the next person who sits in your chair?
Embrace the mission of the Department of Justice. Don't think about being the United States Attorney. Think about what you can do because you are the United States Attorney. So embrace the mission. Enjoy every day. Get the most out of every day because it's the best job you'll ever have.